As you may know, Epiphany is actually an extension of the Christmas season. That's the season we're coming to an end now. During Epiphany, we behold the glory and majesty of that humble manger baby. And it begins, Epiphany begins with the coming of the wise men, and it ends with the three disciples on the mountain with their Savior. We read a verse from chapter 17 of Matthew. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." In Jesus' name, beloved of God. While Peter was still speaking, that's the he, while he was still speaking. This may seem like a very normal state of affairs to have Peter speaking. After all, Peter was the first disciple to ask Jesus permission to come to him on the water in Matthew 14. He often spoke for the disciples, as when he asked Jesus to explain the parable about what goes in the mouth and what comes out, Matthew 15. He was the first one to answer when Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" And a few minutes later to rebuke Jesus for thinking about suffering and dying, chapter 16. He was the one who asked, "How many times shall I forgive my brother?" Chapter 18. And he's the one who blurted out, "We have left everything to follow you. What will there be for us?" Chapter 19. When Jesus tried to warn his disciples on the night that he was arrested, it was Peter who said, "If all fall away from you, I never will. Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And then all the other disciples said the same thing. Chapter 26. So it does not seem so surprising to us here in chapter 17 that Peter is still speaking, even though he's so afraid that he doesn't know what to say. Have you ever talked, even though you didn't know what to say? You remember, of course, what Peter was saying, because it's recorded in Mark and Luke also. Jesus had been transfigured on the mountain. His face was shining like the sun. His clothes were white as light. And Moses and Elijah appeared talking with Jesus. So, of course, Peter starts talking. "Lord, it is good to be here. If you wish, I will put up three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Of course, Peter did not know what he was saying, and probably did not mean to put Jesus on the same level with Moses and Elijah. Just as we do not always know what we're doing when we treat chapel as just another break between classes, or when we go to church as just another assignment that needs to be done. In one way, Jesus was like Moses. For Moses had promised in Deuteronomy, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me. From among your own brothers, you must listen to him." But Jesus was not come to give some new tablets of stone, new laws for living in New Testament times, nor was he come just to show who the true God was, like Elijah did on Mount Carmel. One tent for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. While Peter was still speaking, a cloud suddenly enveloped and overshadowed them, and just as suddenly, a voice was speaking to them from the cloud. "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." And echoing Moses in Deuteronomy, "Listen to him." As if to say, you don't need three tenths. My Son, whom I love, is all you need. He is not just another Moses, another one of the prophets. He is one who came to take your place. I sent him from my throne in heaven to be tempted in all ways like you are, but without ever falling into the trap. He lived the perfect life for which Adam and Eve were created. And he is the one man in the entire history of the world who is by himself truly fit to be glorified in his body and in human nature translated to the heavenly realms. This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. Although we can see that he is ready for heaven right now with his shining face and bright clothing, he is not going to stay in the heavenly realms with Moses and Elijah. No, for your sake, he will humble himself and become obedient unto death, even one of the most horrible deaths that has ever been devised by people, being nailed to a cross and hoisted up for all to see, like some bullhead that you nail to a tree so you can skin it. Such a death is what our selfishness and arrogance have deserved, and more. But listen to him. He says, "I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep." Listen to him. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Who could not love a friend like that? He is the very definition of love. We hardly know what to say. What joy to know that he is not going to stay up there with Moses and Elijah, but will go with us all the way, today, tomorrow, every day. Let us sing here two stanzas of hymn 343, the last two stanzas of hymn 343.